Today's episode is brought to you by Stoner Molding Solutions, a company that helps manufacturers overcome challenges with mold release, such as sticking parts, cracking, buildup, and excess release transfer. Stoner is one of the largest suppliers of mold release agents for thermoplastics, rubber, composite, and polyurethane molding. They've been helping their customers mold more parts in less time since 1942. When you work with them, you'll gain access to industry experts, chemists, and engineers to help you solve some of the most challenging production issues. Their chemists and experts see every process as unique and work directly with your team to find a customized solution. And they'll even create custom formulations tailored to meet your unique production requirements. They also offer same-day shipping. Very few companies provide same-day shipping, but nearly every order received by 4 p.m. Eastern Time ships that same day. So here's the deal. If you would like to evaluate a sample of their mold release products for your application, you can go over to compositesweekly.com/stoner. That'll take you to their sample request page. If you have questions, you can reach out to them over at 888-303-5198. But again, go to compositesweekly.com/stoner. You fill out the information, get a free sample on the way to you, no charge. You can test it out for yourself. And of course, if you need technical support, you can reach out to them. And I mentioned that number before. That's 888-303-5198. This episode of Composites Weekly is brought to you by the ACMA's Education Hub. It's the industry destination for composites resources such as CCT training and testing, recorded webinars, conference proceedings, regulatory information, and much, much more. The CCT program supports professional development and facilitates uniform training and technical skills. It's the only certification program of its kind in the industry, and this program is completed online and provides enrollees with all the resources needed to succeed in becoming a certified composites technician. So if you'd like to learn more, you can visit them today over at acmaeducationhub.org. That's acmaeducationhub.org.
You're listening to Composites Weekly, the leading news and information podcast of the composites industry. And now your host, Jonathan Taylor.
Welcome back to another episode of Composites Weekly. Today I have Paul Gloyer. He is president of GTL. He's joining me today to share some recent news. GTL was formed in 2005. They're headquartered right here in Tullahoma, Tennessee, with a second office in California. They specialize in providing transformational technologies to the aerospace and defense industry. They've won numerous development contracts with NASA, Defense Advanced Research Projects, the U.S. Air Force, U.S. Space Force, U.S. Navy, and others. Paul himself has 25 years of experience delivering technical solutions to solve the aerospace industry's most challenging problems. He's led efforts to provide a wide variety of aerospace systems, including the PA-10 suborbital rocket, the short orbit transfer vehicle, and the Encounter solar sail craft. Today, Paul's going to be discussing some recent news and test results from their liquid hydrogen composite tanks for aviation applications. This took place last week, and happy to have Paul join me on the show to highlight some of the results of these tests that took place last week. Paul, thanks so much for joining me on Composites Weekly today.
Hi, Jonathan. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Good news for you guys. I think this, the validation testing took place, what is it, last week, early?
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Well, if you would, let's start with yourself and maybe GTL before we get into some of this recent news. If you would share a little bit about the background of GTL, founded in 2005. You have a location in Tullahoma, Tennessee, and then you also have an office in out in California. If you would share a little bit about your background and the history of the company.
Sure. You know, I got my aerospace engineering degree from University of Kansas, and the same year the Berlin Wall came down. And so my life changed at that point.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was planning on going into airplanes and all that type of stuff. And lo and behold, there was no need for any aerospace engineers anymore. So I went to graduate school at the University of Tennessee Space Institute. Okay. Came down here to hide, mm-hmm. also get grad school. So so I shifted over towards rockets and space applications, started filling in my credentials and stuff. Mm-hmm. From there, I went and landed a job as the lead engineer for a company called Pack Astro, lead engineer on a rocket program. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun, exactly what I wanted to do.
Sure.
That ended up closing down after a while, merged into AeroAstro, and that's where I did my satellite work, spacecraft, you know, solar sails, air braking systems, remote sensing, microsatellites. And then in 2004, I left AeroAstro and in the process bought PacAstro. So technically my first company I worked for out of college was for myself. I don't think I paid myself enough, but that's my opinion.
It never goes that way, right? You gotta, you're the low man on the totem pole in terms of pay when you're starting out. Right?
Yeah. And so, and I ended up teaming up with Zach Taylor. I had met him back in the PacAstro days. He was the lead engineer on the composite tanks company, and he had gone off on his own, and we decided to go in and merge our companies together. And so that was the genesis of GTL in 2005. We then got immediately whacked by Hurricane Katrina. I was down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and I was aggressively relocated. Long story, but most people probably saw me in my grubbies digging through there, because I was on the clip of the day for Fox News and CNN for about a week.
Wow.
So yeah, because my house was the house on the railroad track. So everybody's like, oh, this is great. So
I remember those clips, some of those clips of people walking the tracks.
Yeah, you may have seen me. Yeah. So it's been an interesting road. It's been a while as a homeless refugee, so I don't recommend it as a doesn't help your credentials.
No,
but you know, on to GTL. So you know, Zach and I, when we got together and we said, you know, we got to do something different. You know, the industry had been stagnated. You know, the same old technology, nothing really changing. So we set out to try to solve the really hard problems. Combustion instability, a few other things, but one of the big targets was weight.
Yes.
How do we get the weight out of launch vehicles and spacecraft? The tanks were just so heavy. And so back in the 90s, when we were doing PacAstro, we were actually worked on an aluminum line composite liquid oxygen tank. Everyone else in the world failed, as far as we can tell. We actually got it to work.
We
got that technology to work. And so everyone else went down the what they call the class five linerless tanks and went down that approach. We looked at that way back in the 90s and decided, you know, that's a dead end. And so Zach and I, we went and took a different route. And what we're doing is what we call a class six tank. The big difference with a linerless tank, the class fives, is they're matrix limited, is especially for cryogenics, you end up with a point where the matrix cracks and it's already porous. So it's really hard to hold anything. So the matrix defines the performance of those tanks. What we've achieved with our technology is a fiber limited design where we can actually stretch the fibers all the way to their breaking point without cracking the matrix. So we can actually keep it leak tight under cryogenic conditions so that you don't have, you know, continuum type flow. You have only have molecular permeation and do that all the way to the fiber breaks. So that's truly the, you know, the breakthrough that we've had.
You're just right on the edge there, right? I mean, pushing it right to the limit.
Yeah. So this lets us go and achieve flight type safety factor. So instead of having to have a big thick laminate that we choke back the strain, we can go and make, you know, flight type safety factors, 1.25 or 2, something like that, and really be guaranteed that we're not going to leak. And along with that, that allowed us to go and create laminates that are the thickness of a business card. So ultra thin laminates, thin ply type materials, you know, out of string and glue effectively that don't leak. But then the question is, how do you build large propellant tanks out of that? And was a challenge. So we had to develop, you know, brand new manufacturing processes. The exciting part is it works, and we've got it worked. You've probably seen some pictures of a couple little girls holding up some of our tanks. So that's
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I was reading about, you know, fueling these tanks, you know, the rapid chill down time for this. Can you get into a little bit of that? The inner composite tank went from ambient room temperature to what was the Kelvin?
120 Kelvin. You know, holding liquid hydrogen in less than 20 seconds.
That's amazing.
It is truly amazing. So people who know anything about cryogenics, that is unheard of. You know, normally it takes many minutes to chill down, and it causes a large amount of boil off and wasted hydrogen. You know, it's a major issue. NASA's seen that they lose, you know, 30 to 50% of their liquid hydrogen from chilling down systems as they're moving hydrogen around. But the exciting part with our materials is, one, it's so lightweight that there's almost no thermal mass in the inner tank. So there's just nothing there to chill down. And then there's some thermal properties about the way we do it that just allows the walls to just quench immediately. Normally you end up with lots of, you flow over surface, you get lots of boiling on the surface, and that creates a gas layer that insulates the material and slows down the chill down. We found that our material wets out with the cryogenics almost instantly, and it just chills it down. So we've actually gone, tubes made of our materials can achieve full cryogenic flow with liquid hydrogen in less than 1 second. So you open a valve and you've got full flow of liquid hydrogen. So it's a huge breakthrough in that regard.
Oh, yeah. What you're saying is, I mean, it kind of paves the way for, I mean, aircraft, you can be fueling these things in just minutes, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We can push a lot of liquid hydrogen in. You don't get held back by this, you know, this gas volume trying to vapor lock your system.
Right.
So you're able to just do it. And we should be able to achieve a zero vent fill process. You know, NASA's been working towards that for space applications. Mm-hmm. We think we can achieve that here on Earth with aircraft. And so it's going to change the way we do things. It's going to shake up the industry.
That's
we got to prove it. Yeah, we got to do it. We got to get the funding and go and implement this.
I was going to ask, what's the next step after this validation testing? Obviously, getting the funding to move forward, and where do you go from here?
So right now, you know, this validation test, you know, this was the first time we had a vacuum jacketed system. So we've done cryogenic tanks, you know, single wall tank with, you know, liquid oxygen, liquid methane, liquid nitrogen, all that. But to push the liquid hydrogen, we had to have an insulation solution. That was the big challenge. You put foam on it. Well, one, foam is heavy, but the foams also crack. So in the space industry, we'll go and we will spray helium gas down, you know, purge the foam to try to keep the air from liquefying on the outside of the tank. You know, liquid air tends to be very flammable and, you know, dangerous next to hydrogen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't want that. So the test that we did, we were able to build a double wall vacuum jacketed system, and we're able to hold high vacuum. We were at 10 to the minus, 2.8 E to the minus 6 torr hard vacuum for an extended period of time in this. So one, that showed that we are leak tight. So we weren't permeating significantly through the inner tank or the outer wall. So, and it drops our boil up down. So that puts a really big, you know, critical milestone for us, is that we have operated these systems with liquid hydrogen and it works. So it's a huge step forward for us. So now the next step is we're proceeding forward with building the flight units. This one did was a 12-inch diameter subscale unit. Now we're going to the full 2-foot diameter by 53-inch long. You know, it was able to hold 19 kilograms of liquid hydrogen.
Right.
And we are we're building that. We're going to run it through a few tests, and then later this year it is scheduled to fly on a manned helicopter. So we're going to be installing it with our customer. We're going to install it on a helicopter and do ground tests, and then ultimately fly with a person on board. So that's a huge milestone.
Sure.
We also have another customer that has hired us to build one for them to do a space flight next year. Mm-hmm. So we continue to work both space and aviation right now.
Sure.
And the exciting part, it's the same technology. But there's a lot more development we've got to do. We got to work through the whole certification process and all the regulations. And
well, from an aviation standpoint, talk about what this means in terms of, you know, looking at liquid hydrogen as opposed to some of the other, I mean, most of the aircraft today is fueled by kerosene.
Yeah, it's basically kerosene, and you kerosene over gasoline because you don't want it to explode an airplane. You want it to burn calmly and stuff. So, but there's a big push to go and eliminate carbon from the emissions. So, so that's a big deal. Yeah, there's a couple options you can do for that. One is batteries. The problem is batteries are so incredibly heavy. You know, they may work for cars, but you end up cracking the roads as you're driving around.
Sure.
Just from the extra weight. So airplanes, it's unless you just want to fly up and down a little bit, it's really a dead end.
Right.
Well, hydrogen's the answer. There's a lot of people looking to do, you know, gaseous hydrogen. You know, can we do compressed? Because, you know, cryogenics are challenging. The problem is the gas tanks get to be very, very heavy, you know, and that's been the big issue all along is the tanks to hold liquid hydrogen or hydrogen period are extremely heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, the state of the art is in the order of 5 to 7% hydrogen by mass. So if you have 100 pounds, you only get, you know, 5 to 7 pounds of hydrogen at best. You don't fly very far on that. It's really hard to go that far when you've got this massive tank and a tiny little bit of fuel to work with. So the super exciting part for us is we've actually been able to achieve 55% hydrogen fraction. That's what our 19 kilogram tanks is going to be able to achieve. So you're going to have 19 kilograms of hydrogen, but the tank is only going to weigh 15 kilograms. And that includes the inner tank, the outer vacuum shell, the multi-layer insulation in it, the two internal plumbing tubes, the temperature and fill level sensors, and a few other components in there. All of that for that type of performance. It's a game changer for transportation in general. Yeah. Europe has set a goal of trying to achieve 35% hydrogen fraction by, I think, 2035 may have pushed out a while, because at 35% hydrogen fraction, that's where you achieve parity with kerosene, which means you remove the kerosene system from an aircraft, replace it with the hydrogen system at 35%, and you could fly equal range.
Right.
And you get equal performance. So that's a big deal. But we are at 55%. We're already well beyond that metric, which changes everything. You know, people just didn't think this was possible last few years. And, you know, they were hoping to get to 35% in, you know, several decades from now. So we're coming out of, you know, stealth and surprising the world with this great capability.
That's amazing. What was the thickness on the tank walls that you mentioned earlier?
You know, it's about thickness of business card, you know, about 20,000ths, 25,000ths in there. So it's really thin. We have built thinner. We've gone, you know, 9,000ths before. It's just at some point, you know, it starts collapsing under its own weight.
Of course. Yeah.
In the end, you know, these vessels are sort of like, you know, Zach Taylor likes to describe them as they're stiff balloons. So, you know, they change shape and you just got to handle them delicately. But that's one of the advantages that we've got with our double wall vacuum jacket system is that inner tank that's doing all the magic, it's protected by that outer shell. So you keep that nice and safe and protected, and the outer shell is able to take any damage and environmental exposure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Makes for a very robust system, very safe.
Well, Paul, this is fascinating. I definitely want to stay in touch and learn more, especially with the manned chopper flight that's coming up down the road. I guess that's
going to be super exciting. Yeah. We also got a few other things we're doing. One thing we're doing is we're working on an unmanned drone, like a 25 kilogram class drone. We're doing that for a long endurance test. Mm-hmm. Because one of the challenges we've got is people say, this is not possible. You can't possibly do this. Well, we're going to do this drone and we're going to try to break the world record, not by doubling it. We're going to try to break the world record by a factor of 4. So the current world record's on the order of 12 hours of flight. We're going to try to hover in air for 48 hours with this drone. You can't fake that. If you got heavy tanks,
yeah, you know, right. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, with
lightweight tanks,
right?
So that's something that you should be on the lookout for, and it's going to be an exciting couple decades coming forward.
Yeah, that's great news for your company. Congratulations, and we look forward to possibly having you back on. Love to stay in touch. Our listeners can find more over at gtlcompany.com. Probably the best place. Listeners can learn more about some of the work that you all are doing.
Right. Yep. And we've got some slides from our recent presentation that goes through some of the technical data available on the media section of the website that people can download and see that proof. Because you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof.
Of course.
We're putting that proof out there so that everybody can see what we've accomplished. And as we go forward, we're going to share more data and then try to change the world.
Excellent. I love it. Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Again, that is Paul Gloyer of GTL, and people can learn more again I mentioned the website earlier, gtlcompany.com. Paul, hope you have a wonderful weekend and take care. Have a best of success to your company.
Thanks a lot.
Today's episode is brought to you by Akpa Chemical, one of the leading producers of organic peroxides. Akpa offers fast and reliable chemical products to more than 65 countries around the world. Since 1997, they've specialized in the production of organic peroxides initiators, accelerators, and paint dryers. Their state-of-the-art R&D center and laboratories allow them to continue being a leader in the global marketplace while meeting and exceeding customer requirements. Their products are now available throughout North America with distribution headquarters in South Carolina, so their U.S. customers now receive better and faster service with their expanded capabilities. And of course, as always, their number one aim is to provide customers with outstanding service and a rapid, responsive supply chain. In addition, you'll get their technical expertise to help you make sure you're selecting the right initiator for your process. Whether you're dealing with slow curing, post curing problems, warping, creeping, heat distortion, they have the right catalyst for your specific application need. They never take a one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to helping you. And you can learn more by visiting them today over at akpachemicalus.com. That's A-K-P-A chemicalus.com. Or if you have questions, you can give them a call over at 803-686-2888.